Bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacy. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otetu. And now, today's word.
This is part 6 in my God series, and my subtitle is The Judge. God, the Judge. One of the things we know about God is that He is a judge. God is a judge. A judge is one who decides the final outcome of a matter. He or she determines how things should rightly be. A judge is there to defend what is right and what is just. In my opinion, and it may be subject to debate, but that's my personal opinion, judging is the most powerful responsibility on earth. And by extension, I believe judges are the most powerful people on earth. They decide between right and wrong on all natural matters and pronounce verdicts on them. Judges overrule precedents. They can just make a verdict and get everybody into trouble. They are very, very powerful. It's a very powerful position. And the judges of this earth derive their power from the ultimate judge, God Almighty. And so that's what we're going to look at today, that God as the judge of the universe, the God who is creator is also our judge. You know, many times we want to see God as the one who loves us, who is merciful, who is full of grace, and all of that, and that's all true about God. But don't also forget that this God who is merciful is also a judge. And that we find also in the book of Genesis. So we go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5. In part 5, I quoted from the same Genesis chapter 1 verses 4 and 5, but I looked at a different aspect of God and His work. But today, we are referencing this, and we're going to look at God as judge. Genesis chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. God is the judge of His works. God is the judge of His works. I made the same statement in part 5, but did not expand on it very much. And this idea of God as judge is not something that comes up later in the Bible. And as I've said, the book of Genesis is very, very important, especially Genesis chapter 1, because all the important doctrines about God are in Genesis chapter 1. Later on, they are expanded in the rest of the scripture. But right from Genesis chapter 1, we see God. We see that He is eternal. We see that He's a creator. We see that He is a spirit. We see that His works are good, and we see that He is also a judge. And these are very important. We see that God is also the Word, what we later come to formulate as the Trinity. These are all ideas present in Genesis chapter 1, because God is introducing Himself. In Genesis chapter 1, God is introducing Himself, and He's telling us who He is. And so here we see that God is the judge. He's the judge of His works. Now, how do we arrive at the idea that God is a judge? Just by reading this passage. A couple of things I want you to pay attention. The first thing is that God sees. God sees. God saw the light that had been made. He sees. He observes and inspects his works. When we say that God sees, it means that he looks at something and he pays attention to it. In the context that we are using it in Genesis chapter 1, it means he examines what he has done. God sees. And it is an idea that you find throughout the scriptures is associated with God, that nothing is hidden from God. Nothing is hidden from God. He sees what is obvious, and he sees what is hidden. And no creature and no thought and no action can happen without him seeing it. So that's the first thing we see about God from this passage, that he sees. That whatever we do, he sees. As a matter of fact, he even sees our thoughts before they become actions. The second thing you see in the Bible is that God calls. He called the light day. Not only does he see the light, he also calls it. What does it mean? It means he names and identifies things as they are. He names and identifies things as they are. He sees and he calls. And that's a very important thought also in the Bible. God calls light by its rightful name and calls darkness by its rightful name. God has names for all things. And it's also a concept that runs through the Bible. And throughout the Bible, you realize that not only does God see, but he calls. He names things. He proclaims things. He identifies things. So when God sees sin, he doesn't hide it. When God sees sin, he doesn't decorate it. When God sees that you've done wrong, he's not going to massage it. He's going to see it, and he's going to call it as it is. So if you commit adultery, God will call it adultery. He will not call it a generational curse. If you are jealous and envious, he'll call it covetousness. He will not call it a desire to get. He calls things as they are. Now, human beings have a way of massaging things, especially in our community, where, especially when big people do bad things, we try to rename the bad. And these days, we see that even among preachers, we try to rename what preachers do. A pastor is doing something wrong, and we say, touch not the anointed. A pastor is committing adultery, oh, don't touch him. He has a special grace. And a lot of that foolishness is circulating. But what does the Bible tell us? Throughout the Bible, God calls out the sin of his people. He named and called out the sins of Adam and Eve. He didn't hide it. He saw it and he called it. He named and called out the sin of Cain. He saw it and he called it. He called out the drunkenness of Noah. He saw it and he called it. Noah, the man who redeemed the human race. God didn't say, oh, for all the good you have done, your drunkenness is nothing. It's just your own personal matter. No, God calls things as they are. He calls out the lies of Abraham, the father of faith, who lied that his wife was just his sister. He calls out the anger of Moses and the murder of Moses. He called out the sins of both Eli and Samuel's children. He called out the adultery and the murderous act of David, the man after his heart. God doesn't say, well, he's a man after my heart, so I'm not going to see what he does wrong. No, God sees and God calls. And don't ever get deceived. that you are so special to God and you are so unique to God that when you sin, because you gave a lot of tithes and a lot of offerings and because you fast and you pray, you are God special. No, nobody is God special. He will see and he will call. He sees and he calls. And the third thing we note in the passage is that God divides. The word divide, it's used in my King James Version or New King James, but it means he separates and sets things apart. So God divided the darkness from the light. He saw it, he called it, he separated it. It's all part of God's judgment. He sees, he calls, he divides or separates, sets things apart. And this is also an idea that continues throughout Genesis and throughout the scriptures. God separated Noah's family from the rest of the world during the flood. He separated Abraham from his father's land. He separated Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. We see it in the laws of Moses. The holy is separated from the unholy. We see it in the parables of Jesus. The wheat is separated from the tares. Sheep are separated from goats. We see it in the concept of judgment in the book of Revelation. The righteous are separated from the abominable. God does not mix things. He separates them. When God is going to judge, he doesn't judge blanket. He separates and judges. Two shall be together. One will be taken, one will be left. God, he sees, he calls, he separates. In God's judgment, he doesn't say, oh, you are a pastor's son. So because you are a pastor's son, you are accepted. He can separate you from your father. Your father's righteousness doesn't cover you. Your husband's righteousness doesn't cover you. Your wife's righteousness doesn't cover you. All of you men who don't pray and rely on the prayer of your wives. You think because your wife prays, God will be merciful to you. But in God's judgment, he sees, he calls, he separates. There is coming a time when God will separate. Although we are members of Christ's temple, our membership of this church does not give us salvation. Even in this church, God will separate people. Being in ICGC is good. But if you don't belong to Christ, when he's coming to judge, he's not going to say, oh, these are ICGC people. They are all good. No, he's going to separate. He sees, he calls, he separates. He sees, he calls, he separates. He sees, he calls, he separates. All right? And so don't think that by belonging to something that is holy, you become holy. Or something that is belonging to the right means you are right. No, you can be wrong and still belong in the right group. And God sees. And he calls, and then he separates. So those are the ingredients of God as judge, and we see it right in the book of Genesis chapter 1. Now, God put all of these concepts together in the first judgment that God brought to mankind. And the first judgment was over the first parents of the human race. Adam and Eve, they were the first to be judged. Now I want us to go to Genesis chapter 2 and see how God as judge and these concepts work out. So we look at how God judges us. Genesis chapter 2. And I'm going to read two portions from Genesis chapter 2. Verse 9, and then I'll go to verses 16 and 17. Out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Remember, two trees. Tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. Then verse 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So God does not just judge us. You don't know what you're doing, and then God slaps you with judgment. No. When we read the passage, we see a process. First, God gives us options to choose from. God gives us options to choose from. This is because He created us to have free will. Free will allows us to choose and to act responsibly. And that's what enables human beings to respond to God's word, to obey or to disobey. Humans have got a free will. We are the authors of our own actions. That is why we are able to sin, and that is why we are made accountable for our sin. If we didn't have free will, then there will be no sin. If we didn't have free will, then we will not be judged. Because it just happened. But we have free will. And please listen to me carefully, because there's a lot of very wrong doctrine all over being taught. Bad doctrines. That makes people not responsible for their actions. Doctrines that makes witches responsible, ancestors responsible, ancestral yokes, principalities, powers, all kinds of things responsible except you. Now, if all of these things were responsible for your actions, then there was no need for you to be judged because you had no power. But we read right from Genesis that God will give us options. Listen carefully to me. You have options in life. You can be good. You can be bad. You can be a fool. You can be wise. You can be rich. You can be poor. I've always said that poverty is not by force. We are not poor by accident. We are poor by choice. So God will give us options to choose from. Free will is what makes us higher than animals. But free will can also demote us and make us lower than animals. It's a free will. God gives you options. You can decide whichever way you want to go. I give you the tree of life, knowledge of good and evil. You have to choose. Your life is in your hands. He gives us options. Second, He shows us the best choice to make. Although Adam had two options to choose from, God pointed him to the right choice. Eat the tree of life. Don't eat the other one. Because God does not leave us to blindly determine what He wants us to do. He points us to the right way. So in addition to free will, we have divine guidance. I've given you freedom, but if you want what I want for you, this is it. You have freedom, but you also know my choice. It's not like you have freedom and you don't know what is right from wrong. You have freedom and I've told you this is right and that is wrong. So that's the second thing. We have freedom But God also points us to what is best for you. He says to Israel, I've placed before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Then he says, therefore, choose life. In other words, the fact that you have options doesn't mean he leaves you blind. Now do nanako. No. That's not what you do. You have options, but this one is better for you. You can have two wives, but one is better for you. You can commit adultery, but being faithful is better for you. But if you want to commit adultery, it's a free choice. If you want what I want for you, stay with the one you are married to. So he gives us options to choose from. He shows us what is the best option. And then number four, he tells the consequences of our choices. He says to Adam, in the day that you will eat the wrong tree, you shall surely die. Now, some of us want to experiment and see how it is. You know, when I was a child, younger, and, I was be standing by the roadside. When I'm standing around the road, something just says to me, what if I put my foot on the road and a car comes to pass on my leg? Have you had that thought? What if I put my... Did you put your foot there? Why didn't you experiment to see how it feels like for a car to... No, you have that choice. But you know what's best for you. You know the consequences. If I put my foot there, I will find out, but in the wrong way. So why do you want to commit adultery to find out how it is like? Why do you want to have sex before marriage to find out how it is like? Why do you want to do that? When God says it's not right, oh, I need to find out. You will find out. As Adam and Eve found out. Because there are some lessons that doesn't teach you anything. All right? If you're standing on top of a building and you hear a voice that say, what would it be like when I throw myself down and I'm going, help, from the 20th floor? You will find out. You will find out, but you'll learn nothing out of that. There will be no lesson to be learned because by the time you find out, you are gone. Experience is not always the best teacher. Sometimes experience is the worst teacher in life. Then number four, he judges us based on the choice or the choices we make. By the time we get to God's judgment, we will have no one to blame but ourselves. God's judgment is certain. It does not come suddenly. It comes after we have ignored the options he gave us, the guidance he gave us, the consequences he told us about. And if you ignore all of that, then there's no one else to blame but to receive the full judgment of God. And the Bible says there is a day of judgment coming. Maybe you say, well, let me find out whether there will be a day of judgment. Do you really want to find out? Or the people who say, well, I live in a house. I'll find out when I die. Really? Is that when you want to find out? Because there are certain things, finding them out doesn't help you. Because by the time you find out, there's no way out. By the time you find out, there's no redemption. And some of us are making choices that we know is wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong. You know it's wrong. How do you know? You know! God has pointed it to you. You say, Pastor, how do you know? Your conscience told you it's wrong. You know it's wrong. Unfortunately, like Adam and Eve, they found out it was too late. They were kicked out of Eden. And with them, the rest of the human race. They found out. But they never went back to Eden. God, who is the creator, who is eternal, the merciful God, the kind God, the God of grace, the God who came in the form of man to die for us, which we'll celebrate in Easter, is also a God of judgment. And he didn't become a judge at the end of the human story in the book of Revelation. He shows us as a judge right from Genesis. And he still continues to judge. He judges here on earth, and he judges after earth. Some people don't have judgment here on earth. They can escape all human judgment. But one thing you can never escape is God's judgment. You can never escape it. He sees, he calls, he separates or divides. And he judges. And he judges us. And as we live our lives as Christians, I know we get tempted. All of us get tempted. The options of life will be thrown at you. Tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. You may freely eat. But if you eat this one, you'll surely die. If you eat that one, you'll surely have life. I don't know about you, but I think with a little self-control, we can live a far better life than the lives we are living. Just a little self-control. Just a little. Just a little saying, no, I'm not going to do it. I feel it, but I won't do it. Just like I felt like putting my foot on the road, never did it. Felt like jumping from the building, never did it. Have you ever asked yourself, what would it be like to do a lot of things you've never done? To drink poison, to do all kinds of things, but you never do it. You know, there are many things in your home that can destroy you that you've never used to destroy yourself because you have a will and you exercised it not to go that way. That same will you use not to self-destruct is a will you use to overcome sin. The same thing. For some things, people will hail you here on earth and God judges you. For some things, people will judge you and God judge you. The fact that people hail you doesn't mean God is also hailing you. Your fans are not God's fans. And God is not in your fan club. And it has nothing to do with witches or ancestral spirits or divine yokes or whatever yokes you are carrying. And all kinds of nonsense people are preaching these days. Taking personal responsibility from our actions. So today, before I close, if you are here and you know that your life is not right with God, you know, there are a lot of Christians living two-timing Christian lives. They love God, but they love the world too. They're doing this, right, left, right. And then there are people who have never given their lives to Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian and your Christian life has been wishy-washy, wishy-washy, in and out, wishy-washy, wishy-washy, inconsistent. You say a Christian, but you're doing all the wrong things that you know is wrong. No pastor says it's wrong. Not even the Bible says it's wrong. You know it's wrong because God pointed his finger in your head and you know it's wrong. Your conscience spoke to you. And you're a Christian, you're living that double life. Or you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. You always say, oh yeah, I think I can live my own life. There is a judgment coming. And I just want us to pray a simple prayer for God's forgiveness and for new life in Christ Jesus. That Christ will come into our hearts and make us brand new people. Every eye closed, every head bowed. If you are here this morning, you say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to be born again. I want to start a new life with Christ. I want Christ to be the Lord of my life. Or you say, Pastor, I gave my life to Christ, but my whole Christian life is not stable. I want to really commit, make a rededication of my life to God. I'm rededicating my life to live a consistent life. If you fall into any of these two situations, just lift up your right hand wherever you are. Lift up your hand. Don't feel shy. This is about your life and your future. Just lift up your hand. Some of you are lifting up your hand in your heart. But you have to lift up your hand physically also. Just lift up your hand. And with your hand that you raised up, I want you to put that hand on your heart. And that simply means that you are sincere about what you are about to do, that you mean it properly from your heart. And let's pray together, and everyone say with me, Heavenly Father, I come to you today just as I am. I have sinned against you. I have gone against your law and my own conscience. I ask you, Father, have mercy on me. Forgive me. Wash me and cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I ask you for grace to live for you. Help me to do your will. Give me the will. Give me the power. Give me the ability to make the right choice and stay with it. I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And I thank you for your free gift of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Live and Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otebiri, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otebiri. Email otebiri@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.